My father's people were from Switzerland. They lived in a little town called Grosshofstetten. I guess there were Hofers in Grosshofstetten as far back as 1342. And we find the house that his family left from to come to the United States. His oldest sister remembered leaving Switzerland when they came to the United States. And she often wondered about the house, and the picture I have now of the house was from her house. And a sister has a picture also. The first time I went to Grosshofstetten, I didn't find anybody that spoke English. I was traveling by train, and I asked when I got in to Grosshofstetten, and the lady, no, she didn't speak any English. My friend would have spoke some English could not go with me that day. But I walked around in the town, remembering from what my aunt had said, went up to the cemetery and the big church, but I did not find any Hofer names. But they bury over, or did at that time, and at the ends of the cemetery there would be a lot of these gravestones. They weren't, I'd say, more than 4 or 5 inches thick and, oh, maybe 2-3 feet tall, that would be stacked up over at the end of the cemetery that I guess had been taken away when they buried over again. Because I guess in those days everything would have been wood, and of course that would have deteriorated over a period of time.
What canton is this in? Do you know?
Right off, I can't think exactly which canton it was in. My mother's people were also from Switzerland, and when a sister and I were over, 2 or 3 years ago, we aimed to get into the village where her people had been from, and we went as far as we could go by train. And all, and when we got there, when we got to a certain point, we found out that on, I think it was on a Sunday, and we found out on Sunday we couldn't get on into the village.
So your grandparents were the ones that came from Switzerland, and with your aunt. And you say your father was the first child born in Helvetia?
Yes, first baby boy. There was a girl born before him, so at one time, but a family that did not stay. And so we were corrected at one time that she was born before he was. So we say the first baby boy born in Helvetia.
Did any of your people, did your mother and father, did they speak German?
Oh, yes. And I could speak a little German. A sister, one of my father's sisters, she she was with relatives at the time, and I would go and visit her. She wasn't well anymore and was living in with them, and she'd say to me, "Now why don't Lena come? And why don't Margaret come? And why don't Freddie come?" And of course, I wouldn't say to her, "Well, they don't come because unless they would go with me because they couldn't speak any Swiss anymore," and she had never learned that much English. She was never married, and so there were not children around that learned to speak English. And I think it was my oldest sister that when she started to school, she didn't speak a whole lot of English.
Can you still speak?
No, I let it get away from me.
Uh-huh. Did they ever sing any songs, your people?
Oh, yes, they had songs and all. And another little thing that might have been interesting, at our church out at Helvetia, we had a German Reformed minister as I was growing up. And he preached in German every other Sunday because there were still many of the people in the village that had not learned to speak English. And I always wished I wouldn't have let the language get away from me, but it's just one of those things that happens.
Did your family play any music?
No, we weren't from a musical family. But many of the families out there, and they'd have their get-togethers and sing and play and play for the dances at Helvetia and things of that kind. But I guess you would say we would not have been considered a musical family.
Mm-hmm. Who were the ones that played music?
The Burkies, the Sambas. I was going to say the Agators, but I'm not just quite sure about the Agators. And of course, there's still enough that play. If they have a dance or something of that kind.
Tell me what it would be like, say, at Christmas in Helvetia when you were really young.
Well, till you got old enough to know better, Santa Claus brought the things and put them under the tree after you went to bed the night before. After you went to bed the night before. So you would find your Christmas things in the morning. And you were always anxious. That was a morning you were always ready to get up and go see what had come. And of course, with some aunts and all that would send us something. But usually it was something that you could use. Even if it was just a pair of new knit gloves and things of that kind. Mm-hmm. But you found something under the tree.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other holidays or special times of the year up there?
Oh, the Helvetia Fair is always a big thing. And even today, I think they give prize money for your prizes. And you take in your canning and your canning would be one of the things, and then you'd also take in the fresh things, like you'd pick out the nicest potatoes for however many you were going to be putting on display, and the various different things. And they still have a Helvetia Fair there. Of course, now it's in a newer building. Our hall used to be well, right across from the post office, where the post office in Helvetia is. Well, now, after they build a new building, it is at another place, and they even have a kitchen that goes along with it. And a covered, well, open at the bottom, but with a covered on it, where you can sit and visit with your friends, because people would come from far and near to Helvetia for some of the things, also for dances at a time that they would have the dances. Of course, usually at Helvetia fair time, the folk dancers dance. Mm-hmm. And we have had a group that comes in from Washington. Well, a fella originally from Helvetia is with that group, and they often come in too and do some dancing and of the folk dancing type of thing.
How old is the folk dance group up there?
Right off, I just...
Was it around when you were young?
Yes.
Were you part of it?
Well... Now, wait a minute, I've got to think whether it was a folk dance or just a regular round dancing that we did. I guess I did some, because I always, I remember when I was teaching at the Homestead School. No, that was a May Day pole that we had there.
At the Homestead?
Uh-huh. When I was teaching there.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's a little bit hard to explain, but you had your pole, and then the children had a streamer down here. And they would weave in and out as they went around. And I know it was a newer thing for in the area where I was teaching. And we made the little dresses. They were all the same. In fact, some of them are still in my house at Daly. Some of them bought theirs and some didn't. So I had gotten the material and all, and we had made them for the different size children, and some of them bought theirs and some of them didn't. That's why there's still some at my house daily. And I just recently I took materials that would be torn into rags to a lady that still weaves the rugs and things. And you used, well, I think I had already said we would use these rugs, but those were made by a different person. But we have somebody out that lives out in the Jerusalem area.
Who's that?
Mrs. Cutright. Hmm. And I took things to her just not too long ago to make some rag rugs.
Mm-hmm. What's her given name, do you know?
Right off, I just always say Mrs. Cutright, so right off, I wouldn't be able to say a given name.
Yeah. Getting back to that maypole, was that was that something that you did in Helvetia?
The witch?
The maypole?
Oh, the maypole. I'm not, I don't think when I grew up that we did. But I'm just not real sure.
When you came to Daly and you were teaching in the school there,
yes,
and they did the Maypole celebration, they did that on the first day of May?
I guess.
And do you know whose idea it was or how it came to be practiced or anything?
Well, I'm not just real sure, excepting that maybe somebody else knew that we had done it out at Helvetia. Yes, possibly. Because I know we did do it. I'd have somewhere, I would have some pictures of it that have been taken.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
With all the picture books I have, I don't know if I could find them or not. I'll have to look and see.
So out at Helvetia, you'd celebrate Christmas and you'd celebrate the fair.
And Fasnacht. You know, the days, so many days before Easter. And that was always a quite big thing.
When you were young, was that a big thing?
Yes.
What did you do when you were young?
Well, it usually, I guess you would say, was a dance. And then you didn't do anything more of that type until after Easter. The days between, what do we call them, Lent and Easter. You gave up something in between that period of time then.
And at that Fasnacht dance, did people get dressed up?
Yes.
Now this is going way back to when you were young.
Yes, I think so. Or by the time I went, I don't know how old I would have been at a time that we'd gone to that type of thing.
Maybe a teenager.
I would say at least a teenager. At least in high school. And over there, or had I said we had the one-room schools, because children weren't required to walk more than about a mile to school. So your schools were, we went to Helvetia, to the one-room school, which was a mile from where we lived. And then up a mile from us was another little one-room school. And, my first, My first teaching was in one-room schools. You had 8 grades. And, of course, I went to a one-room school. And I taught. My first school was Lewis, which was a good little distance from my home. But I know the first year I walked till Christmas, I think. And then I checked with the lady who kept the teachers. Well, I think I had gone up before, but that I stayed with then. And then the next year, before I had gone back up to tell her that I wanted to stay with, I had been approached by someone that had lived in Helvetia, that now lived more into the area of the Lewis community. And she was married. Her husband worked away during the week. He left on Monday mornings and came in on Friday. Would I come and stay with her? Because her oldest child was just a baby. So I agreed. I didn't have to pay anything to stay. And in the morning, she would get up and in the evening when I got there, she would go up on the hill, it was hilly country, and feed the cattle and all, and do her milking. And then in the morning, whatever she did, and I would be in the house with, and then she would be back in time for me to get to school by the time I needed to be to the schoolhouse. And I usually went home on the weekends. Went home to help Ishan. And then I know at one time I went in to the county office when there weren't as many people in the county office as there are now, but the assistant superintendent happened to be there that day. And I told her I'd like to change schools. And she looked up at me and she said, well, why would I want to change, which made me feel good. I decided nobody had had any complaints, which sometimes people would go into the county office with complaints. And I said, well, I had gone to high, when I went to high school, I was going to school with some children who came in from a one-room school that had had one teacher for 8 years. This teacher, I think it was fractions that she didn't teach correctly. They just added the numbers instead of getting a least common denominator. And they had trouble adjusting when they came to Pickens High School. And so I said something of this type, and so she would just let us decide, because at that time there were about 6 one-room schools, who would teach where and tell her. Because all of us then had the same idea of not staying in the same school too long when you were having all 8 grades. Mm-hmm. I was in the first graduating class at Pickens High School. My two oldest, they did not have 4 years at Pickens when my two oldest older sisters finished, and they came to Elkins and graduated. Well, they just had the two come at the same time. There was a year's difference in the grade they were in, and they worked with or were with families in Elkins and graduated from Elkins High School.
Where did you get your teacher's training?
Well,
what was the procedure back then to be a teacher?
Well, like, I went to D&E, and when I first started teaching, you could teach on just two, in these one-room schools, you could teach, I think I'm right, on just 2 years. But then I finished at D&E. And then later I got my master's at West Virginia and have 30 hours beyond my master's from West Virginia University. So by the time I went overseas to teach, I guess I already had my master's, I think, when I went overseas to teach.
I still would like for you to explain to me, if you can remember, just exactly what happened at Fasnacht.
Well, they dress up in...
Start out by saying, at Fasnacht in
Helvetia. At Fasnacht in Helvetia. They dress up in all kinds of ridiculous things. One time, some of us children were at the dance. In comes this person dressed with my mother's long petticoat on that went clear down to her knees, to her ankles. And I forget what he had on his head, and we soon knew who it was, but many of the people there didn't. And at a time then, I guess, when they took their mask off, people were surprised at who some of these people were. But our father came, we figured out who he was pretty quick. And at a point before the evenings, and they still have this thing at Helvetia. I haven't been to one for a long time. It's just something in the winter, you never know how the weather is going to be and all. And so I just don't try to go out for it. But, of course, Helvetia still always has its fair. Had we talked about the Helvetia Fair?
Why do you think people would dress up at Fasnacht?
I really don't know where it originated from. But I guess the Swiss people. It must have been something they did. And brought it to this country from there. That's all I... That would be all I can think of would be that this is what they did.
Would the older people in the community be involved? Your parents?
Oh, they were involved in most anything that went on.
Mm-hmm. So let's say there was a Fasnacht dance. Who would play the music?
Oh, we had two different families over there that were very musical, not the Hofers, the Sumbaws, and the Berkeys were musical people, played the different instruments. So they, and for any of the dances and things of this kind, there's still enough people over there.
And what instruments did they play?
Oh, the banjos and the... I have to stop now and even think the names of the different violins. What are some of the other musical instruments?
Did anybody play accordions?
There's a fellow that was born and raised at Helvetia's. It's over in the Washington area. And usually, I think it's at Helvetia Fair time, some of their group comes in and they play and dance.
You said that your parents maybe knew some old songs in German?
Yes. But, again, I mean, we let the German get away from us in our generation.
Is there any little sayings or anything like that that you can remember in German?
Well, I've badly let it get away from me. Right now, I just can't think of anything that I could even say in German. Because, like I say, after we didn't have the aunt, that we had to speak in German.
She was the one that was born there.
Yes.
Well, I didn't realize that Fasnacht celebration went way back to the older people.
Mm-hmm. Goes back as far as I can remember.
Did you tell me that you kept sheep on your farm?
Yes.
In Helvetia? Mm-hmm. Did you do anything with the wool besides
selling? Oh, yes. You kept some yourself to have to make the wool, to spin the thread that you make. You used what was called a spinning wheel. And then, like I say, then my mother would knit the wool stockings and things.
Did you know how to spin?
No.
But your mother did?
My mother did. Mm-hmm. No, some. I don't think, I'm quite sure I never learned to do any spinning.
Carding?
Yeah, now I could do a little carding.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother didn't weave, she knit?
She knit.
Mm-hmm.